The following is a presentation of Radio TFI. This is John Shannon. At the tone, leave your name and message, and I'll get back to you.
You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
Honey, I'm home. Yes, we are back indeed with the Shannon Files on RadioTFI.com. I am John Shannon. Glad to be back doing the Shannon Files on RadioTFI. Formerly from Blog Talk Radio back an eon or two ago. We did do one show a few months ago just to see how it felt. It felt pretty good. But timing wasn't exactly right, if you will. So, yes, we are indeed back. Now, I don't want to do this whole thing by myself, so if you get an itch and you're listening live, drop me a make a phone call. Area code 754-800-CHAT. 754-800-2428. The number to call if you're listening live. You try to call that number while listening at 1 o'clock in the morning, you're probably not going to get an answer. But hey, give it a try anyways if you're feeling up to it. Okay. So this is the story. I should say we, because I have no Ed Van Ness today. That's right. This is all my baby, all by myself here. My taxi stand hour partner, Ed Van Ness, hopefully is listening, but we'll have to see. He'll probably offer a critique anyways, one way or another. And by the way, Mr. Van Ness will be doing his own little ditty tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, called, God, yes, I have to say it again, Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree, or wait, I guess I should say it correctly, Radio TFI presents Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree. That is tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Oh, so if you've never, ever, ever, ever listened to the Shannon Files before, it's probably a good thing, because this really isn't going to be like the old show was. I was pretty heavy into politics back then. I still am into politics, but there's only so much you can say about certain things before it just gets completely monotonous. So we'll probably mix in a little bit of politics. Probably mix in a little bit from the taxi cab industry, too. After all, I have been doing that for the last 35 years in May that I have been operating a taxi cab. So, fun times there. But this time around, we're probably going to mix in a lot of other stuff. A little bit of humor, a whole lot of opinion, just not always going to be about politics. And I happen to love some old-time, God, I can't, hard to say, hard for me to say this, that music from my era is called old-time. I love stuff from the 70s, and you will get a sample of that every week, as I am not the kind that can carry on an hour-long conversation, it looks like. But it's hard for me to do an hour-long monologue without taking some sort of a break. So I will be, as need desires be mixing in. Did I say need desires? Jesus Christ. As the need arises, I will be playing some ditties from the 70s and maybe even some other stuff that's even a little older. Hard to believe anything out of the 70s I'd be interested in, but I might mix in something else too. It just depends on the mood. But so, I'll tell you what, we'll give you a sample of that real quick, and we'll be back in a couple minutes to start this whole ball rolling. You're listening to the Shannon Files on Radio TFI. from 1970. George Harrison, My Sweet Lord. Yeah, that's kind of a sample. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm more have more preference to the early 70s, mid 70s, or late 70s. So there'll be a bunch of a variety. Let me put it this way. You know, it's funny because, you know, even I have a subscription to SiriusXM. I absolutely love it. Wouldn't these days, when you know, when you're spending as much time in a car as I do, it's wonderful actually having commercial free music, having some sort of a variety, if you will. But you know, even they don't. They seem to recycle probably the same 100 songs over and over again. And it just surprises me because there is so much stuff out there that you can pick from to be able to play. I mean, you're talking about a whole decade of music here and, you know, how many thousands of songs, and even maybe digging out some songs that were maybe not like one-hit wonders. I mean, I'll play you a few of them, probably not this week, but throughout the course of this show, we'll definitely feature some of that. All, by the way, thanks to the Radio TFI Music Vault. I tell you, folks, when you're not listening to this show, Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree, or the Taxi Stand Hour, and hopefully more live shows as we kind of progress in this thing, but just get a chance to take a listen sometimes. Some of the music that we have in the Radio TFI vault, it's incredible. It even goes more of to a wider range even than I'm providing here. He has at Mr. Ed Van Ness, who is the creator of Radio TFI, has selections from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I don't think he's had anything up from the 2000s yet. I could be wrong. I just haven't heard anything. So, enough of that. What do you say? Okay. Beginning of the week, I ran a poll on my Twitter page. And by the way, my Twitter feed is at the Shannon Files. You feel free to join me there. Yeah, I ran a poll there, and it was, of course, this February is Black History Month. And during the Super Bowl, there were protests. Like, you always have protests, it seems like, at big events like this. But there was a protest at out by the U.S. Bank Stadium, as close as they could get, I guess. The Black Lives Matter movement was out there. Now, Black Lives Matter here in the Twin Cities, they have staged several large protests. I don't believe this one was quite as big. It probably had maybe 100 people or so, but, you know, in other protests, there was up in several hundreds, maybe even close to 1,000 people protesting. They've protested such things as the Mall of America. They've protested at Minneapolis Airport and several other locations. And they are known as the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, I posed the question in a poll that I ran, both on Facebook and Twitter, whether or not you believed that Black Lives Matter, the movement, people in the movement, should be offended by people who say that not only Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter. Now, I got a moderate response on that. 59% of respondents said no, they should not be upset. And I was a little surprised by that because I have my Twitter followers are mostly, I'd say a great deal of them are either cab drivers, well, you know, you can go either way with that, or progressive-minded politico types. Yet 59% of the people who answered the poll said, no, they shouldn't get upset by that. I don't know that I have, my standard opinion is on that, is yes, that all lives indeed do matter. I think that what's going on with systemic racism, I do believe systemic racism is real. I don't doubt that for a minute. You know, you don't have to go any further than what happened about a year and a half ago to a young man named Philando Castile here in the Minneapolis area, who had a nervous cop unload his gun, killing the man, and according to all sources, just about every piece of evidence that there was, the Philando Castile actually cooperated, did everything the officer told the cop that he was a licensed gun holder, that he had a gun on him. He was very forthright with the police officer. Yet the officer got an itchy trigger. I don't know if it's an itchy trigger finger. He just got nervous. He panicked, and he, like I said, not only shot Philando, but completely emptied the clip on him. And a year later, that officer, whose name escapes me, you'll find it, you listen to this, that happens quite a bit, unfortunately. But the officer was acquitted. I should rephrase that. He was not charged in the death. There was no wrongful death or anything like that. He was relieved of his duties in the city of St. Anthony, the St. Anthony Police Department, but he was cleared of any actual wrongdoing, if you will. So, now, where I believe the systemic racism comes in, not necessarily from a nervous cop, but necessarily from the system that basically cleared this officer. So, yes, I do believe it's out there. But here's the thing. When you could have used just about any other hashtag, if you will. You know, it's hashtag Black Lives Matter. You could have used just about any other phrase, any other saying, you know, whatever. But when you say that one particular group of people matters, to me at least, that means that other races, other people in general, don't matter as much. And that's a bad route to take. We want, if we're ever going to get along in society here. We're going to have to understand and respect everybody, each other. We're going to have to respect the, no matter of your race, no matter of your religion, sexual orientation, gender. We don't necessarily have to like each other. Asking for the simple order by Jesus Christ that said, love thy neighbor. No, we don't necessarily have to love thy neighbor, but we do have to respect each other. And that means whether if you're a police officer, you have to treat every person you come upon with the same respect. If you are a white man, you need to respect other races. If you are a Muslim, you need to respect other religions. This is what it's all about. It's about respect. Again, you don't necessarily have to like other people, but you do have to respect. You have to respect their right to live, to enjoy life. And I don't know. I don't see that. I don't see that. I think, of course, this didn't happen. Philando Castile's shooting didn't happen during the Trump administration. But I'm not gonna sugarcoat it here for you. I think that, quite frankly, electing President Trump and watching him in office so far in a little over a year seems to have made it okay to hate even more. You're seeing more backlash against people of color, against other religions. You're seeing a backlash again against the LGBT community. All that hate that was kind of tucked away, I think. I'm not saying it wasn't there, but it was kind of tucked away during the Obama administration, now suddenly has come out, has kind of reared its ugly head, at least what I'm seeing out there. Hell, even here in Minnesota, we're supposed to subscribe to Minnesota Nice. I've even noticed in driving habits that people aren't as nice as they once were. So, anyways, you have to think about it. You know, and again, if you want to call in and discuss this, my number here is 754-800-CHAT, 754-800-2428. If you want to offer your opinion, you can also offer an opinion up on Twitter, Facebook, whatever method you care to respond. Even if you, as I go on to something else, I'll even backtrack for you if you want to offer an opinion. But right now, I'm going to take a little bit of a break here and give you a little Billy Joel from 1973.
Gin. I'm not really sure how it goes, but it's sad and it's sweet, and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes. La 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 la. Tonight, well, we're all in the mood for a melody, and you got us feeling all right. Now, John at the bar is a friend of mine. Gets me my drinks for free, and he's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke, but there's some place that he'd rather be. He says, Bill, I believe this is killing me, as a smile ran away from his face. Well, I'm sure that I could be a movie star if I could get out of this place. Time for a wife, and he's talking with David, who's still in the Navy and probably will be for life. And the waitress is practicing politics as the businessmen slowly get stoned. Yes, they're sharing a drink they call loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone. Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song. Saturday, and the manager gives me a smile, 'cause he knows that it's me they've been coming to see, to forget about life for a while. And the piano, it sounds like a carnival, and the microphone smells like a beer, and they sit at the bar and put bread in my jar and say, man, what are you doing here?
From 1973, Mr. Billy Joel with Piano Man. Wonderful stuff there. Again from the Radio TFI Musical Vault. Give a listen to Radio TFI 24/7, Music and Memories. And we even take a break to talk a little bit on Saturday and Sunday morning, and also Monday evening. So be sure to tune into those. Be sure also tune into the taxi stand hour on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern and Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree. It's going to make it, Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree is going to make its initial debut tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Old Uncle Ed kind of had a swing and a miss last week. I don't know if you want to call it that, but he was going to start. He was going to start that last week, but he promises me that this week for sure, Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree will air. And if I know Mr. Ed Van Ness, that ought to be a fun hour. So definitely look forward to listening to that. Okay. You know, kind of on the same theme as our last segment, maybe just a little different here. I want to take a little different angle on this, and I want to thank a particular Facebook friend for putting this up. I will respect her privacy by not mentioning her name. But so this person saw a meme on Facebook. Basically saying we hate Trump like you hated Obama, but we hate Trump because he's a racist and hated Obama because you are a racist. Now, like I was saying earlier here, I do think that there is a segment of the population who has somewhat become emboldened by the election of Donald Trump. Now, I'm gonna give you something here for those of you who do not like Donald Trump. I think that Donald Trump may be a useful idiot. He's definitely a womanizer. I don't know. He's never shown anything in his past that I've seen that would imply that he is a racist. But here's the key thing. Donald Trump, like him or not, is a smart man. Yes, I know, I just said he was an idiot. He's an idiot when it comes to governing, let me put it that way. Donald Trump is a smart man. He knows how to manipulate people. That's how he became so successful in business. And he manipulated a group of individuals. He saw a group of individuals who weren't necessarily represented by any other politician, because quite frankly, no other politician was either brave enough or stupid enough to try to gain this corner of the electorate, if you will. And he did. He got the attention of a group of people who are primarily white and who were licking their wounds over the fact that the last 8 years we had an African-American president. So while I don't think that Donald Trump is in his core a racist, he manipulated a group of individuals who are definitely racist. Definitely. I mean, not only racist, again, homophobic, anti-Muslim, anti-Islam. That's what this whole Make America Great Again was all about. You know, you whether or not he had it in his heart before running for president, he definitely knew, if you will, knew how to tap the market. Now, am I giving him a pass for this? No, because what he has done is like I've said, emboldened this group of people. And for those that are listening who happen to be Trump supporters and happen to follow this line of thought that, you know, that white people are the only group of people out there that have made this country great, if you will. No. Trump and Bull, you know, here's the thing. You got played. You got played by a master manipulator who could give a shit less about working class America. He does. Donald Trump has no clue what it's like to go out and beat the pavement for work. You know, the story goes that he was handed $1 million by his father to start his first business. God, and that was back when $1 million meant something. You know, nowadays we talk about $1 million like they used to talk about 50 cents. So, yes, Donald Trump played these individuals, played them well, and we are definitely seeing the results of that. So, as I go on here, by the way, wrestling fan, by the way, we will definitely be talking a little bit about professional wrestling from time to time. That is my one of my loves, if you will, from not so much today's stuff. Today's stuff is kind of garbage, to tell you the truth. But, you know, I followed the career of this young man. I shouldn't say young man, but this man from his roots back here in Minneapolis. And yesterday marked the 15th anniversary of the death of Kurt Hennig. Kurt Hennig, some of you probably know him better as Mr. Perfect if you were an 80s type wrestling fan. Yesterday was the 15th anniversary of his death. He was 44 years old. Sadly, he died of acute cocaine intoxication. You know, I tell you something. One of these days, I'd love to have a individual that I've watched him on TV ever since I was just a little wrestling fan. A gentleman by the name of Mick Karch. I'd love to have him on one of these days just to talk about this and what professional wrestlers actually have to go through. I've got a little bit of a peek behind the curtain from time to time, and some of the stuff that happens there just to provide wrestling fans, you know, their entertainment, if you will, would actually surprise you. So, moving along here.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yes, but you know what? They do exist. Illinois Republicans should have paid closer attention to the state's third district, a Democratic stronghold that includes a part of Chicago and its southwestern suburbs. Arthur Jones, a notorious neo-Nazi, will almost certainly win the Republican primary for the third district seat in the House of Representatives on March 20th. Because he is unopposed by any other Republican candidate. Mr. Jones is a member of the National Socialist White People's Party and a variety of other Nazi groupings. He calls the Holocaust an international extortion racket and proudly displays racist, anti-Semitic bile on his website and blog. Now, folks, before you sit there and laugh about that and say, okay, he's running in a primarily Democratic district, he won't provide any challenge. Just remember, folks, this is the the same thing. Everybody thought that Donald Trump didn't have a chance to win the election. So remember, elections have consequences, folks. You gotta get out there and vote. Every hour, it doesn't matter if it's not just the presidential elections, but even local elections. All elections have consequence, folks. And it is your civic duty as an American to get out and cast a vote. Otherwise, well, look what we got. Look what we got now. You would have never, 20 years ago, you would have never, even in your wildest dreams, thought that an admitted Nazi would be a serious candidate for a national political office. You know, you might see it, you know, you might see something like that for Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, a dog catcher or something to that effect. But you would never in a million years think that a admitted Nazi would be running for Congress. Now, I don't know. I don't have the history books in front of me, but I just have a hard time believing. I have a hard time believing that that would indeed be the case. That somebody from that group, that mentality, that mindset would actually be running and actually, like I said, you may not think he has a chance, but you just never know. Have you noticed, though, the crop of candidates that are starting to pop up in elections? And ever since Donald Trump, I hate to go back to it, ever since Trump was elected, look at Roy Moore. You know, there are people out there that are emboldened. And I think what's really happening here is that there are potential Republican candidates in some states that, quite frankly, don't want to be associated with Donald Trump. And they're afraid if they run for office while Donald Trump is still president, that they don't stand a chance. There is no such thing for Republicans as Donald Trump coattails. There are some people who will claim that they support Donald Trump and whatnot, but it comes right down to it. Nobody, you don't see anybody that is running on the Trump ticket, if you will, or the Trump bandwagon, if you will. Let's take another musical break here and go to 1973 with a group called Steeler's Wheel. As far as I know, this might have been the only hit they put out. Somebody proved me wrong. By the way, when we get back, feel free to join in here. 754-800. No, that is not a toll-free number. 754-800-CHAT. 754-800-2428. I knew I'd triple on that sooner or later. Anyways, here's Steeler's Wheel. You're listening to the Shannon Files on Radio TFI.
I fall off my chair and I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control, yeah, I'm all over the place. Jokers to the right.
from 1973, Steeler's Wheel, Stuck in the Middle with You. Thanks again. Once again, thank you for joining me here on the Shannon Files on Radio TFI. You want to join in the conversation here? We've got about 13 minutes or so to go here. You want to join in? The number is simple, 754-800-CHAT. 754-800-2428. Definitely welcome your opinion. And, you know, if you're listening to the archive here, I feel free. You know, feel free to tweet. If you heard something that touched a nerve, feel free to tweet or to send me a Facebook message. I don't run away from conversation. Matter of fact, I quite frankly enjoy a good debate. So, real quickly, I should make note that even though I just got started here doing this, we will be actually taking a break already after a couple of weeks. We're actually moving the Northern Command Center. We're moving the Northern Command Center south, actually. So on Sunday, the 4th of March, I don't know what Uncle Ed will be doing as far as replacing this, whether it be an encore presentation or what, but there will be no live show on the 4th of March. That's Sunday. Yes, we are definitely going to be moving that day, moving to a new location, a new apartment. I shouldn't say an apartment. Let me start here from square one. Our family is expanding, if you will, here. We have a 2-bedroom apartment where we have 5 people staying. We figure that it's about time we actually expand a little bit. We're getting a little cramped in here. And I don't know, sometimes when you go to, oh, I don't know, when you make a move out of, I think, necessity, things have a tendency to go wrong. And sure enough, one of the heater pipes broke in our apartment overnight last night, spewing water all over the place. And would you believe, now I've had a call into the apartment complex. I've called the supposed emergency number, and I've gotten, and we're not talking about some slumlord that is just, you know, a homeowner or an apartment owner or whatever. We're talking about a multi-unit company here, realty company, if you will, who has abandoned the idea of one-on-one conversation with its tenants, now wants to do everything online. Well, when you have an emergency such as no heat, which we don't have any heat, and by the way, might I point out that the current temperature in West St. Paul, Minnesota is 3 degrees. So yes, we are, it's 3 degrees, and we are in an apartment that has no heat. I think the only saving grace to that is, quite frankly, is we are living on the third floor, and as any third grade science teacher will tell you, that heat rises, and while it isn't toasty warm in here, we're still surviving. So we will be okay. I don't know, it might be Tuesday or Wednesday before management of this complex actually respond, let alone try to come in and fix the situation. But other than the fact that we are going to be moving out of our cramped environs here, I'm also very happy for the fact that we are getting away from this particular property management. I tell you something, you know, that gives me something that I wasn't planning on talking about, but I'm going to give people a suggestion right here. When you are looking to move, especially into an apartment into an apartment complex especially, go on Facebook, ask some questions on Facebook, go into, if you're moving into a particular neighborhood, just about every neighborhood in this country probably has some sort of a Facebook group going where you can ask, you know, how is such and such a apartment, how is such and such a landlord, what do you think of this property, you know, along that line. Do your homework, folks, because it seems to be more and more important every day. It is imperative. I'm not gonna lie. It is imperative because you are, I moved into this particular building with my wife, and from what my wife says, this wasn't a bad property at one point in time, but is definitely gone downhill over the years, if you will. So I would do your research. That's all I can say. Do your research. Do your check out like the Better Business Bureau site. I just so happened I Googled this particular property, and the Better Business Bureau gave this particular property a C- rating. Now that's not just public opinion there. That's not disgruntled renters. That is the Better Business Bureau making a rating of a particular not only apartment complex, but the management company who is behind that complex, if you will. So, unless you were living under a rock, Minneapolis was host to Super Bowl 52. A lot better game than I ever thought it would be. I'm rehashing the same joke here, but I thought a Super Bowl or a, let me put it this way. If the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles were playing a game, just a regular game on the schedule, I definitely wouldn't be going out of my way to watch it. As I said, that particular game, that particular matchup to me is about as compelling as watching a rerun of Dr. Phil. And I was pleasantly surprised. I did indeed watch the entire game, including the halftime show. I was surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was really surprised that the Eagles were able to pull it off, pull out the win. It was a back and forth game. It did, you know, it kind of reminded me, to tell you the truth, of a NBA All-Star game or even a Pro Bowl game. Wasn't a whole lot of defense played in that game. I mean, there were a couple of big hits and what have you, but there was really no defense played here. And it almost came down to the fact of who had the ball last, who actually won that game. I think the city of Minneapolis did a great job of hosting the Super Bowl. There were plenty of events around the city, both Minneapolis and St. Paul. Yes, it was cold, but it wasn't supposed to be presented anything other than the catchphrase for this Super Bowl was the Bold North. And we had events up here that embraced winter, including snowmobile jumping. They built an ice castle in St. Paul. They adjusted the St. Paul Winter Carnival. Yes, up here in Minnesota, we actually celebrate winter, believe it or not. By the way, I got to tell you, That is a misnomer up here in Minnesota. Just because you hear about Minnesotans being this hardy bunch that embrace the cold and go out ice fishing and snowmobiling, to most of us city slickers here, we hate winter. We can't wait for winter to end here. We're tired of sliding around in the snow. We've had a little bit more snow this year than we've had in past years, and I think that people in this state have kind of forgotten how to drive in that type of environment. At one point in time, or about 3 weeks ago, we actually got dumped on by a foot of snow. Now, to Minnesota's credit, three days later, you wouldn't have even really known, other than the snow piled up on the sides of the roads. They did a great job of getting the roads clear, getting everything back to some semblance of normalcy here. So, hats off again to Minnesota, though, to Minneapolis, for the job that they did in pulling off this Super Bowl. It was definitely a great time. From the taxi industry, it wasn't that big of a deal for me, because I don't know. I think people that come to a city for a Super Bowl aren't necessarily the taxi riding crowd, if you will. So, well, I tell you what. You have definitely survived an hour of listening to the Shannon Files here on Radio TFI. We definitely appreciate you giving us a listen. Hope you come back and join us next week here on the Shannon Files on Radio TFI. I'm John Shannon. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.